Comfort the brethren is our final topic. 1 Corinthians 14:3, you've heard it before from up here tonight. This is from the Weymouth. But he who prophesies speaks to men words of edification, encouragement, and comfort. When we received this assignment, we kind of looked up to the Lord and said, Lord, are you sure this is what you want us to work on? Not because we were good at it, it's because we're not good at it. It's something that we have to work on a lot. I have much to learn in the ways of comfort, so take these words from a perspective of a young brother in the truth, maybe observing others. Well, let's talk about comfort. Comfort comes from a Greek word, at least the one used in 1 Corinthians 14:3. It means paramuthia. It's a noun, and it is only used in 1 Corinthians 14:3. So when we looked at the word, we said, well, there's maybe not other verses, but comfort's used throughout the New Testament. Where else is it? Well, there's also, it's used as a verb in four other occasions. So five times this particular word that Paul uses in 1 Corinthians is used in the rest of the New Testament. Definitions of comfort: strengthening aid, assistance, support, consolation in time of trouble or worry, the easing or alleviation of a person's feeling of grief or distress. Like I said, it's only used five times, but if you look up the English word for comfort, when you use e-sword or another tool, in the King James Version, the English word for comfort comes up 23 times. So when we look at this, that's a little confusing. Well, let's look at some of the examples of the use of comfort. And these are the first, these other examples are the ones that are also used, the same word, paramuthia. And the first one should be familiar to us. This is John 11:19-31. And this is when Jesus has come to see Mary and Martha after Lazarus has died. And many Jews had come to Mary and Martha to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When the Jews had been with Mary in the house comforting her, notice how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her. And then another in 1 Thessalonians 2:11-12. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging and comforting and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into the kingdom and glory. And finally, we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Well, that word encourage is paramuthia. It's, Brother John just talked about encourage. So wait a minute, what's happening here? Some of these words, comfort and encourage, are very close together. So, there's a little bit of overlap as we study through this. In the King James, it says comfort the feeble-minded. I don't know if any of us would want to, readily be like, hey, I really am feeble-minded today. But from that side, I think feeble-minded is maybe weak in faith. Maybe we're having a weakness in faith at some point in our walk. So let's talk a little bit about encouragement and comfort. Is there a difference there? Again, in 1 Corinthians 14:3, we talked about encouragement and comfort. Those are two different Greek words. Paraklesis, meaning encouragement, and we heard from Brother Michael earlier this afternoon's session about encouragement and comfort, and he talked about paraklesos. And so we know that there's this overlap there. And I was, I was sort of sitting here and said, well, this is a little confusing for us English speakers. I'm not a Greek scholar, so is there a difference? And as I was talking through this, I was talking with Brother Adam Goodman, and we were sort of explaining what was going on, and I said, how should I differentiate this? How do I make it simpler in my mind? And he gave an example when working with his son. And he asked, when Peter's having a little bit of challenge with the situation, he's been working on a practice saying, do you need help or do you need a hug? I like that. I had to use that because that was really good. I need to use that. Okay, do you need help or do you need a hug? I think what Paul is talking about here is when you need a hug. So let's just clear up just a little bit of that too. Remember, and Brother Michael talked about some of these earlier. These are scriptures from, first one is from 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4. Praise be to the Lord, to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort them, those in any trouble, with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Okay, and then Romans 15, 4 and 5. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded, one toward another, according to Christ Jesus. Romans 15, 4 and 5. Those words are the same word that is used for encourage that Brother John just talked about. The God of all encouragement. I don't know if we always think of it in that way. And when we check the translations, none of them seem to translate it that way. So don't take it as a Brother Jay said, this is now encouraged. It's not. We just want to make you realize sometimes we got to look a little more at those words, and there's a little bit of an overlap between the two. Who needs comforting? Well, one group we see readily, and it was pointed out to us in scriptures already, when the Jews went to comfort Mary and Martha, those mourning a loss. Romans 12:15, weep with them that weep. We have that scriptural example from Mary and Martha. Comfort for the loss of a loved one is one of the main items behind the idea of this comfort. What about the loss of ability or the loss of a job? Some of our more mature brethren may have lost some of the physical ability to serve like they once did. Some brethren who were blessed with physical health before may have lost some physical ability that they are mourning. Those brethren, whether it's a loss of a loved one, a loss of an ability, they need our comfort. How about those that are weak in faith? From Isaiah 35, 3 and 4, strengthen the feeble. Say to those with anxious heart, take courage, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. The recompense of God will come, but he will save you. We know the rest of that is well known among the brethren of the rest of Isaiah 35, that picture of the kingdom. Just like in 1 Thessalonians 5:14, when we talked earlier about comfort the faint of heart. I think those are those weak in faith. They need comforting. And then those mourning a sin or a wrong course. If you're mourning a sin or a wrong course, it doesn't mean you have that repentant heart attitude, that you're mourning that course, that path that you had taken. Those brethren need comforting as well. Galatians 6, 1 through 2, brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one belonging to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. How to comfort. Now this is the part, brethren, I struggle with a bit. And so what I did was use some observation. We have some brethren and sisters in our ecclesia in Orlando who I think are very good at providing comfort. And one of the first things I noticed about them, in talking with one of them, it was about looking for opportunities to comfort. How do you comfort somebody? We got to find those opportunities first to find those that need comfort. And we have especially some sisters that are so good about finding, saying, these brethren, they need your comfort. How do we comfort those who mourn? Being present with them, a card, a text, an email, prayer, finding ways to help. You know, this was mentioned in a talk in our class recently. It wasn't just about finding, it was saying, I'm going to help, tell me what I can help you with. It was actually finding something that brother or sister needs and helping them with it. Calling those who have lost their spouse, remembering loved ones who have died, remembering those special anniversaries, the special dates, remembering to talk about them still. How do we comfort those weak in faith? Let's look at the example of Jesus and Peter. This was mentioned from a platform earlier today, Luke 22, 31 and 32. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Jesus first prayed for Simon Peter, and then later he encouraged him by confirming again his love and his faith, and setting him forward on a mission to build up his brethren, to build up the church. So those that are weak in faith, we can pray for them. We can pray with them. We can encourage them, like Brother John was saying. Confirm again God's love for them. And then help them find that mission that's before them. What is God's purpose for them in their life? Those mourning a sin are on course. How do we help those that have taken that path? You know, when I was thinking about this, I don't think there's anyone in this room that hasn't made a wrong course and had to make that course correction, felt that remorse and that repentant attitude. You know, I was thinking of the idea of a small child, right? A small child comes in and feeling bad for something that they've done, and those tears are just like running down their face. What is their reaction? Do you need help or do you need a hug? How do we help them? Do you tell that brother or sister, even after that mistake, God loves you? Do you help them by praying for them when someone asks for their recovery from that sin or that wrong course? When you give them a hug? James tells us in James 5, 14 through 16, is anyone among you sick? And we think this means spiritually sick. Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Are you looking to put comfort into practice? Brother John already pointed out to us, there's a comfort table out there in the lobby. So we can practice this all week. From the Phillips translation, and glad Brother Ninen used this as well. I think it makes it clear. But he who preaches the word of God is using his speech for the building up of the faith of one man, the encouragement of another, or the consolation of another. I like the Phillips translation because I think it makes this section, 1 Corinthians 14, a little plainer. And Brother Ninen spoke on, happy that he spoke on this, to the meaning of prophecy and what was happening here in 1 Corinthians 14. The Corinthians were wanting spiritual gifts, and Paul speaks of the gift of prophecy, or the one who preaches, and he shares with us what should be the intent when we publicly share the word of God. It's to build up and strengthen, to encourage, to comfort, to console. That word prophesying, like Brother Ninen said, that's to publicly expound, that's to publicly preach. So that led me to think, in this context, in 1 Corinthians 14, it means, what do we preach from the podium? What's preached from the platform? Are they words of comfort? Are they words of consolation? I think of being a teenager and a young adult in this exact auditorium and sitting in those seats. And I think of both encouragement and strengthening and comfort that we receive from these conventions in years past. I also remember sometimes being, we're talking a lot about the end of the age or some of the destructive things that are happening. And as a young person, you're looking around at the world, those could be fearful things. So when we are preaching or exclaiming the word of God, are we making sure to provide comfort. We have to talk about the truth, brethren, but of course we need to also provide that strengthening, that encouragement, that comfort when we do it. How about with the public? Is the message that we share a comforting message? We are blessed with a message of comfort that has a hope for all mankind. Revelations 21, 3 and 4. And I heard with a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away." That is the ultimate comforting message. When God will be all in all, he is the ultimate comforter, and we have the privilege of sharing that message. So, brethren, as we go forward through the rest of this week, may our words from this platform with each other be words that strengthen, encourage, and comfort each other. May the Lord add his blessing.